Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. Today is April the 5th, 2008. We are having our mindfulness day. And before we start our talk this afternoon, I would like to ask Sister Shirley. She will read Discourse on Love.
Discourse on Love. He or she who wants to attain peace should practice being upright, humble, and capable of using loving speech. He or she will know how to live simply and happily with senses calmed, without being covetous and carried away by the emotions of the majority. Let him or her not do anything that will be disapproved of by the wise ones. And this is what he or she contemplates. May everyone be happy and safe, and may their hearts be filled with joy. May all beings live in security and in peace, beings who are frail or strong, tall or short, big or small, visible or not visible, near or far away, already born or yet to be born. May all of them dwell in perfect tranquility. Let no one do harm to anyone. Let no one put the life of anyone in danger. Let no one, out of anger or ill wish, wish anyone any harm. Just as a mother loves and protects her only child at the risk of her own life, we should cultivate boundless love to offer to all living beings in the entire cosmos. We should let our boundless love pervade the whole universe, above, below, and across. Our love will know no obstacles. Our heart will be absolutely free from hatred and enmity. Whether standing or walking, sitting or lying, as long as we are awake, we should maintain this mindfulness of love in our own heart. This is the noblest way of living. Free from wrong views, greed, and sensual desires, living in beauty and realizing perfect understanding. Those who practice boundless love will certainly transcend birth and death.
One of the beautiful intent for a person to devote their life as a monastic, and that good, that beautiful intent is their love. Because they love themselves, their family, and many other living beings. That's why they devote their life as a monastic, so they can practice and bring the light of happiness to many other people. In this entire life, if we do something for someone, and with our love, we are unable to do our job as long as we want. We cannot last long. We want to do something for someone, especially we are helping a person who is suffering. Then if with our love, we are unable to last long. So therefore, as a monastic, every day we cultivate our love deeply in us. And because that love is deep and wide, that is why we're able to continue to serve many people without tiring. As you heard the discourse on love, it is very short, but this discourse is the basic, the foundation of all practitioners. You come to a Friday class or you come to a mindfulness day. You also cultivate love in you. Because once you are calm, when you are at peace, your word that you speak every day to your loved one is more peaceful. Your behavior to someone around you is more peaceful. So the love embrace. The love is like the mindfulness. Embrace every single thing you do in daily. Embrace every single word that you speak to people around. He or she who wants attain peace should practice being upright, humble, and capable of using loving speech. If we love someone, and especially we love ourselves, and we do not practice to be humble, and that may harm us very soon. And that is the reason why one of the beautiful way is to join your palms and to bow to everyone you meet in the temple on the street. You do not need to say anything, but all you need to do is join your palms and bow. One of the 10 great vows of the Sammatapara Bodhisattva. And his first vow is, I vow to bow to all the Buddhas. And the word Buddha here doesn't mean the one who sits on the lotus. Buddha means everyone I meet in my life. With human, we do not say that person is bad or good yet. As long as they are in the form of human, we respect. We are not talking about they good or bad yet. That is another thing. But as long as they are in the human form, we should join our palm and respect. They are a human. That is what we call the sentient beings. Because they are the sentient beings, that's why we respect. And with the material, like the bell, the floor, the door, the light, we also respect. Respect here doesn't mean you come to the light and you bow the light. But you use things with your mindfulness. When you use things with your mindfulness, it shows your respect to the material. For example, you come to the temple. Even in the temple, everything is belong to public. It does not belong to a particular person. And because it is public, that's why we need to use it more mindful. So when we lift up the bell, we do things in mindful. When we set up the cushion, when we every single thing in the temple, we use and we put back properly. To that show the respect. This is respecting of the material. So in the first vow of this Bodhisattva, the very first vow, I vow to respect all the Buddhas. And we have to understand the word Buddhas in this situation means two things. All sentient beings and all the material. With living beings, with sentient beings, we bow. With material, we use them properly. We don't destroy them. We respect them. And we able to using our loving speech. Loving speech is very important. If we are unable to use loving speech every daily life, then we may destroy a lot of communication between us and others. So using loving speech is one of the ways to build up a good relationship, one of the beautiful ways to keep your happiness family. In Vietnamese tradition, when the couple get married, and on that first day, the husband and the wife, after they bow to the ancestor, they turn around, they bow to each other. Bowing to each other because they respect that person is from now on, from this moment, this person officially become my friend, a friend on the path. You are not coming to each other just only because of your passion. But you respect that person as a friend on your path. What is the meaning of a friend on your path? That you're willing to share. You share not only your body, not only your passion, but you share every single thing in your life, especially your feelings, your sadness, your happiness, your difficulties. You not only share a piece of sugar, but you also share a spoon of salt. There's a joke, they say that, if a spoon of salt, I will share. But if it is a cube of sugar, I will swallow by myself. And sometimes in life, we're able to share the sorrows, but we're unable to share the happiness. And if we only do that, and what is love? Love is not there. Love is not there. So if you see that just by walking downstairs when we line up for lunch, and if you look at the table of food, and you can see full of love there. Every single grain of rice, you're able to recognize the love there. And right in that moment, in you, the feeling of gratitude is full. And when the gratitude in you is full, then also the love in you is full because you love the person who cooked. Not because they cook for you, then you love. But you also love many people right now, in this moment. They don't have anything to eat. And if we are practicing that way, we are increased, we are cultivated, we are filled up the mind of love in us. And because we have that kind of gratitude, that's why we're able to talk, to behave to people around us with full of respect and love. He or she will know how to live simply and happily. Live simple is one of the ways to show your love. Because if you're asking too much, that person has to satisfy you, and sometimes they're out of their patience. And sometimes we complain, I'm unable to love my husband. Unable to love my wife because, you know, he never say anything. But if you are reflect on yourself, you reflect on the situation, and you will love him or her deeply. You know why? Because she or he have to open his heart to accept you, to endure you many, many times. Sometimes because of your unbalanced emotional. You are happy and you are sadness, you know, quite unbalanced. But every single time like that, he have to accept you. If he has not loved you enough, he never stay with you up to this moment. He never live with you up to this moment. And he never accept you in many ways like that. How come when you say, I unable to accept him, but why don't you ask that? Why don't you see that? He has accepted you in many times, in many ways. directly and indirectly. Live simple doesn't mean we try to throw away what we have. Live simple means we appreciate what we have. We're using what we have wholeheartedly. And we feel enough with what we have. For example, to me, every time when we have a mindfulness day, and to me, every single time like that is like a party because lots of good food there. But if you don't see that, you say, how come the temple, we pay, but the temple does not cook good food? I know you never think about that. Just this is only an example. But to me, every day is good food because we learn how to live simple. No expectation. Live simple means you learn to accept anything you have. You know that at the time that many Vietnamese escaped Vietnam by boat. And there was a lady who brought a lot of diamonds and gold along with her. So when they landed in the campsite, refugee camp, and her last diamond left, and she was complaining, oh my God, I only have one diamond left. But the gentleman, the young man, sit beside her, heard what she complained, and he said, oh my God, I only have one t-shirt left. Compare one t-shirt to a diamond. Who is better than who? But how come this man, he only have a t-shirt left. He's still happy. She have a diamond, but she's still not happy yet. So live simply doesn't mean after you hear this and you go back home and you throw everything you have. But just appreciate and use what you have. And by the way, you live simply like that. You bring a lot of joy, not only for people around you, but first, also for yourself. You're happy. With senses calm, without being cultivated and carried away by the emotions of the majority, let him or her not do anything that will be disapproved by the wise ones. We calm our senses. In the past, we like to shopping and we like to buy a lot of things, even they sell or not sell, especially things on sale. But now we know how to calm our senses down. We will reflect what we really need and what we are not really need. You know that a true cloud produces rain. And we have to practice in such a way that love, our love is the same. If you are cultivate enough love in you, you will produce a lot of beautiful action, beautiful words, beautiful behavior, the same as a true cloud can produce the rain. If we are unable to, if that cloud is not a real cloud, then of course the cloud unable to give any rain. But if it is a true cloud, the true cloud able to produce the rain. If you are a true practitioner, you're able to produce love, understanding, and happiness for you, for yourself, your family. May everyone be happy and safe, and may their heart be filled with joy. This is the contemplate. This is our daily contemplation. This is our daily object for meditation. Sometimes we do not need to do a long prayer. maybe just one sentence or two sentences or just a short word, we're able to transform a lot of suffering in us and bring a lot of joy for people around us. For instance, if you are knowing that you are a person who are very easy to get angry, you have a very hot temper, and you know, instead of sit there and do a long prayer for nothing, why don't you just learn four lines only? Angry makes me ugly. I smile instead. I return to myself and transform the nature of anger in me. Only four lines. But that's worth more than an hour of prayer. Because right in the moment you know that you're angry, you read that out, and automatically it reduces right away the percentage of anger in you. And you will know, now in this moment, you look ugly. You will find a place to sit, breathe in and breathe out. Do not talk, because you know that your face is ugly and your words are also awful. Nobody can accept. And you know, in the past, many times, you feel guilty, you apologize, but you just repeat and repeat, and sometimes your loved one never want to accept your apology anymore. And they will say, please, mean it. If you say something, please mean it. I'm sick. I'm very sick to hear those kind of fake words. So there are, in Buddhist practice, what is Buddhist practice? Awakening practice. Mindfulness practice. That is called Buddhist practice. It's applying right away what's wrong with you. Buddhist practice doesn't mean you come to a temple, you burn the incense, you do hours of sitting meditation, you do hours of prayers. Yes, you're able to do that. But more than that, you're able to establish the true happiness, the true peace, the true joys for your whole family and for people around you. And the Buddha offers us a lot of techniques. It's like when you went to the pharmacy, lot of supplements, lot of multivitamin, different kind. It depends what you need. You can use vitamin B12. You can use vitamin D for your bones. You use the calcium pills. It depends. So first of all, we need to sit down and reflect. If you're unable to sit down and reflect on you, to recognize what's wrong with you, what you need, you're unable to do anything. You're unable to find the true treatment for your body, for your mind. That is why at the very last of the sentence, the Buddha said, whether standing or walking, sitting or lying, as long as we are awake, we should maintain this mindfulness of love in our own heart. No matter what we do, but every single time, every single thing we do, it is a practice. We reflect. You know that when we have a prayer for the deceased, people who passed away, and we ask the family members to meditate about your loved one, And then remember that every single you step, every single step you make is not only you, but you step on behalf of your father, your mother, and you are walking on behalf of them with your own legs, with your own feet. And in that moment, you bring full of love, full of meditation, full of reflecting on your loved one, and your loved one, of course, there. So when you write the name and you give it to the monks, you ask the monks to pray for that person in peace, in joy. But I request the family have to read that name deeply from their heart. You know, for the truth, we are only the one who read the name. Sometimes we don't read, we don't know that person. We just read the name. But you are the one who know that person. You should cultivate that person in you in that moment. You send your love, you send your support, you send your energy. Whether that person is sick, still well, or have passed away, you still can send a lot of support, a lot of peace energy to that person. So when I read the name of the deceased, I ask the family to hold up the incense and cultivate the picture of that person, the name of that person. You have to do that. Combined with my prayer, we are established a true, strong power to invite that person here with us in the moment. That is the reason why when you come to the temple, especially at the back hall, when we do the ceremony for the deceased, for the ancestors, and we ask the family members, send one person, represent for the family, hold the incense, kneel down in front of the ancestors. We stand beside, we read the name, but they have to follow, they have to establish the picture of the name of that person. So sitting quietly is the first thing we should do to reflect on ourselves before we blaming anyone else. Vietnamese people used to say that we are very easy to see the mess on other person's face, but it is very hard for us to see the mess on ourselves, on our face. Because we don't use time to reflect, we don't use time to sit down. Sit down here doesn't mean you find a place and sit, but sit here means to calm. And bring your body to sit down like this is one of the way, the reality way, the strong way to help you to calm. When you're able to calm like that, sometimes within yourself, you're able to create your own prayer. Sometimes the prayers that we printed in the book is only the guidelines. But sometimes you're able to create your own prayer. It depends on your own situation. If you're unable to smile, the only four lines that are able to make you smile. Wake up this morning, I smile. I realize I have 24 brand new hours. I vow to live this day deeply and using the eyes of love to go through this day. They do not need to be a long prayer. As a novice, we learn about 150 small prayers like that. Every single thing we do in our daily life, we have a prayer right away. You know, when I lift up the stick before and write the bell, of course I have the prayer right away. Body, speech and mind, held in perfect oneness. I send my heart along with the sound of the bell. May the hearers be awakened from forgetfulness and transcend all anxiety and sorrow. A very small offer, sometimes it's so full of love. Just a glass of water, it shows your caring, it shows your love. Just one, two hands together, a short bow down, it shows your gratitude. When you enter the meditation hall, you open the door. And instead of walk and let the door close by itself, sometimes it makes big noise. You shock many people. You use your hand to close the door gently. Show your love. You walk to the cushion with all your gentle steps, with full of joy. You sit down beside the person. Automatically, that person feels full of joy. I don't know if you are cultivate the practice deeply in you enough, you can realize that easily. Every single thing that person, people do for you, you can receive, whether that action from love or from what. That is not the imagination. That is not the philosophy, but that is the practice. That is the experience. If you practice in you every single thing you do with love, then you will see. Lately, I have a phone call from a young girl in Vietnam. I don't know her. She does not know me either. She just know me by my CDs. Some of my CDs now in Vietnam. And she lives in the countryside. And accidentally she received some of that CDs and she heard. And one of the talk that I touched her is the talk on alone is not, but not lonely in Vietnamese. She tried to find my phone number. She called me about a month ago. She dumped out every single thing in her life since she was a child. Everything. She called me 3 or 4 times a day. You know, sometimes very late at night, because very late here is in the afternoon in Vietnam. Mid-afternoon. When she's free, she goes to the post office, she make a call. When she call mid late afternoon, there is here is, you know, around 2 or 3 a.m. She called me yesterday night. She called me today morning. She sent me lots of emails. You know why? Because she have no one to talk. She unable to talk to anyone in her family. And when I talk to her, I don't know her, but I just talk to her, and she told me that Thay, when you, even I don't see how you pick up the phone, how you listen to me, I don't see it. But in your words, I can receive your understanding and your love. And I know because, why? Because in her, she also cultivated the love. And when I talk to her, I send her my love. This is not the passion love, But this is the love of equanimity, the compassionate. So that two energy, they can meet. But if that she come to me with her passion love, I come to her of monk's love, the equanimity love, it doesn't match. And later, she will refuse me. Because she come to me with that kind of direction. I don't come to her with that direction. How can it match? Can you see what I mean by that? So in the family, the husband and the wife, they must establish the same power of love. How they love that person. In Vietnamese, we used to have two words. Tình, nghĩa. Tình and nghĩa, they also show the love, but tình is more passionate, a lot of passion. But first, everyone, we come with tình. We all come to each other because of the passion. But when you live together, you share the difficulties together, you open your heart and try to understand each other, you're able to talk to each other, and that then lately transformed into nghĩa, now more calmer, more understanding, more faithful. And nghĩa lasts longer than then. Let me give you an example. If you come to the meditation class, or you come to a mindfulness day, because you come with the practice, you don't come with the philosophy, you don't come with your instant interesting, then you can stay longer. Many years ago, I met a man who came here quite often every week. About 6 or 7 months later, I didn't see him anymore. And one day, I call him and say, "Are you okay? Because I didn't see you for a few weeks, I just worry for your health." And he told me that, because I don't feel any more interesting. Because at first I come with my, I feel that I want to come and see what you're doing there. How is your talk? How is Buddhist practice? And now it satisfies what I want. I have no more interesting. You see, just an example about the word tình or nghĩa. When you come to something with the interesting, we're able to come with that kind of feeling. But if we really dwell in the practice, then that has been transformed. Sometimes you come here on Friday, you do not need to hear the talk. Just sit for 40 minutes, massage your legs, take a walk, come back to sit, and then you can go home. Because sometimes you talk too much, but you hear too much, but you never digest anything. It's the same as you eat a lot, but the food never go anywhere, still stay in your stomach, and that means you were sick. You need to take something to digest. So you are digesting the learning, and that digesting will help, will support for your learning. So learning and practicing, they cannot separate. They always need to go together. So you know that if a monk, some of the monastics, they feel, "Oh, when I ordain as a monastic, I come to a monastery,
I will live in peace, in joy, because I am so sick with my outside life. In this monastic life, I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I just pray, and then bell ring, I go downstairs and eat. And after that, I go to my own room, I do my own stuff. If they have that kind of feeling, I guarantee they cannot stay up to 1 year. Because they have a wrong perception about the monastic life. That means you are hiding. Some people, they are hiding in that way. And lately, this monastic life unable to justify what they think, what they thought, they live. But there are some opposite. Some people, they just, you know, long time ago in Vietnam, the government want to control the religion. So they hire some of the police people, policemen, shave their head and go into religions to become a monk, to watch, to report everything. But when they come to the monastery, they live with the monastics, and the teaching, the love, the care, the practice transform them. Do you understand what I mean by that? And I have known many monks that way. They become a good teacher. Because first they have the intent. They want to use the power of political to transform the practice. But when they come deeply into the practice have transformed their political perception. So the practice is very important, able to transform. So if you come here, like, let's say for a day, if you really practice, I guarantee you transform. Even not much, but at least a little. Little by little, or drop by drop, you get full. The Buddha said, do not underestimate a very small evil thing, because that small evil thing can add up to a greater evil. Do not underestimate a very tiny good thing, because that tiny good thing can build up a strong and beautiful good person. When we are practicing walking meditation, the first time you walk, you feel uncomfortable. It's unusual. Because we have the habit of walk so fast. Now we ask you to walk slow. Your step never stable. You feel like this. But the next time you do, the third time you do, you enjoy. When you are doing the prostrations, you don't feel all right with that. But you do day by day, you very much enjoy, because it gives you a lot of support and energy. People ask me, do you do any exercise to keep your health? I said, yes. And they ask me, what you do? I said, you do push-up, you do sit-up, I do prostration. And by prostration, I don't rush. I just slowly move my hand up, move my body down, stand up like this, sit down like this. I do 100 times a day at least. Sometimes I do 200 times. Sometimes I do 500 times a day. 250 in the morning, 250 in the afternoon. And you know that I have lack of sleep, lot of work. But in me, when I do things, I really cultivate the love along with my work. the novices, they stay home last week for spring break. So I spent time with the novices in 3 days. I spent time with the kids in the community for 2 days. And today I spend time with you. Tomorrow and also Monday too, for whole of next week, I have full of schedule. But I don't feel any tired in me. Sometimes the body a little bit tired, but just 5 to 10 minutes rest, like deep relaxation you just practice, I gain back the energy. So when I share this with you, it is not a philosophy, but this is my own practice, my own experience. You want to continue your work, you want to continue your family, your communication with someone in your life. You should sit down and reflect yourself, what you have done. And then you cultivate the love, the understanding. And the gratitude is one of the ways to continue your love. I thank you so much for being my husband. I thank you so much for being my wife. I know you have endured me for many days. Because of my emotional, I did not balance my day. Sometimes I go home with a lot of anxiety. And every time like that, you are there for me. Sometimes you did not say anything, you just keep quiet. And you take care of the baby, you take care of the house. I just want to do whatever I want. That is the support. I have a young couple. She suffers about her family a lot. A lot. She suicided 3 times. But very lucky for her, she has a husband who talks very less. But every time when she go home after a visit of her side, she come back with a lot of a very deep, deep suffering. And her husband come and sit beside her. Sometimes she push him out. Go. I don't want anyone around me. The husband silently walk away. She doesn't do anything at home because, you know, in her life is right in that moment embraced with all anxiety, sorrows. The husband back home, he cook, he take care for the baby, he do everything in the house. She said, he told her, go to the bed, take a deep rest. After one night of sleeping, the next day she okay. And she happy again. And if the husband not understanding, the husband can say, my wife is something wrong with her. And you know, if he is not a true love husband, he cannot endure that for many days. If he only love her with passion, with only tin, but he never come with her with nghĩa, then he unable to do that. And I know many couples in that way. Sometimes we live in a temple, we are also dealing with that kind of emotional too. Why? Because we're still human. We are still practicing, we are not a saint yet. And sometimes one of our monastics, they are not well on that day. And instead of talking, I know they don't want to hear anything. Oh, they when we talk, they say, oh, you still give a Dhamma talk? I know this already. So now you do not need to give the Dhamma talk, but you need to do. So I go down in the kitchen, I wash the dishes. I sweep the floor, I mop the floor, I clean the toilet, I do everything. They go to bed. The next day, they see me. Hi, how are you? I know they are well. Because they're able to ask me, how are you? That means they are well. So you live together long enough, you can recognize on their face. What is that? That is the practicing of your love. If you don't have love in you, you don't care what is your wife look like, what is your husband look like, what is your monastic look like. But when in you, you cultivate the love and understanding, you can recognize that easily. I have love for my students. So when they back home from school, I can recognize what's wrong with them based on the way they walk. When they bring the bowl of rice from the kitchen to the dining table for dinner, the way they sit and eat, and I can know what's wrong with them. And sometimes I did not talk. I just silently support them. Sometimes they just want to forget that, you know, by, you know, taking out the badminton rack and play badminton together. I know. I just avoid, like, I don't see anything. I let them play. Because as kids, they play in that way, they can release. And especially teenager, sometimes the energy in them is strong. We need to help them to transform it. So if in you, you have love, you can help your loved one transform their suffering in many ways. Sometimes you never find that in books. You never find that in any writing, in any article. But yourself, you have your own article. You have your own technique. Sometimes cooking is a beautiful way to healing the breaking between you and other. Cooking. That's why you see in the kitchen of the temple, never silent. Always busy. Because the cooking is one of, eating is one of the main things for human life. Usually, at least, we have three meals a day. Wake up in the morning, we brush the teeth, we wash our face. The second thing, the second thought in us is what to have for breakfast. We're ready to go to work. For you, a few hours later, get ready for lunch. On the way you home, on the way you drive home, you think what to cook for supper. And sometimes you are having your supper, you are thinking what to have for the night. You see? So eating is one of the important. It's nothing. In Vietnamese, people used to say nothing but it's important. So when you are cultivate that, feel with joy, and you may say, may all living beings, may all beings live in security and in peace. Beings who are frail or strong, tall or short, big or small, visible or not visible, near or far away, already born or yet to be born, may all of them dwell in perfect tranquility. So when you have love, you can pay attention to that person, the way they walk, the way they sit, the way they eat, the way they look. You know, one day I recognized one of my young students. They come here for Sunday class. For many weeks, he did not do his homework, he did not practice well. But I just keep silent. One day his mother come to me and she says, Thai, I deeply thanks for your understanding and for your help for myself. I know sometimes he does not practice well. That is not what you want. And because of your love and you try to seem that you don't see anything. You let my son transform silently. Because I recognize what's wrong, even though he did not say anything to me. He tried to keep. Because one day I asked him, why don't you share with Thay? And he said, no, Thay. Every time I say that, it hurt me. I said, okay. I understand. But sometimes he's lazy to practice. I just keep silent. But the mother came and said thanks. Expressed her thanks because I support her son to transform because of love. So, without love, you are unable to do anything. Love able to embrace a lot of things, able to make you live up strong and very powerful. You know, one of the Avalokiteshvara's vow. This is her vow. I vow to create a Dhamma boat so I can bring all living beings to across the ocean of suffering. And one day I explained this vow to the Vietnamese people. I say, you know what is that boat? What is that Dhamma boat? That Dhamma boat means your own body. You are a Dhamma boat to bring all the suffering beings across the ocean of suffering. Your action, your words, your looking, every single thing. If you are wise enough, you're able to transform the suffering. You bring that person across the ocean of suffering. You don't have to spend any money to create a boat. But your own body is a beautiful boat to do that. If you look back at the back hall, you see there was a Bodhidharma, a master, who crossed the ocean with his branch. What is that branch? That branch is the technique. It's a raft to help us to cross the ocean of suffering. The ocean that he crossed is the ocean of suffering. And why only one sandal? You have no expectation. You get out of the idea of dualism. When you do things for people, you have no expectation. They have to return. Without that expectation, they return or not, you still feel okay. But if you ask for the return, your action of helping is not from love. It's from purpose. The mother embraced her only son. We should cultivate our love in that way. The mother will do anything for the daughter, for the son, without any expectation. We do things for people in that way. We are free. That's why in here they say, real, free from wrong view, greed, and sensual desire, living in beautiful and realizing perfect understanding. Those who practice boundless love will certainly transcend birth and death. What is the word birth and death here? Birth means you're happy again. Death, you suffer. When people return something, you're happy. When they don't do something for you, you're sad, you're angry. And that day, you just birth and death, you just up and down on the rough way. You liberate from that. You do things for people with wholeheartedly. When I operate the meditation session 12 years ago, up to this moment, I always have only idea that I vow to do anything that I am able to do for all brothers and sisters. No expectation. So people call me and ask, oh, I heard that you have a meditation class on Friday. What is the charge? Lots of questions like that. I said, no charge. Really? I said, only donation. You offer me whatever you can. So every Friday you come here is a good donation already. And if you want to support for this facility, you can donate whatever you can. That's why we say in Vietnamese, công đức. Công means all your attention, full of love. You help us with your full of love. $5, $10, but that comes from your love. Support for the facility. And I come to you every Friday with my full of love. I support for your spiritual life. But no expectation. You never say, I offer Thai for $20. I expect him to do this and do that for me. And when I share with you my experience, my practice, I only have the only wish you're able to be happy and practice well in your daily life. So we all need to do that. And what is the point of argument and fighting? No war at all. If we're able to do that and to practice that, we should let our boundless love pervade the whole universe, above, below, and across. Our love will know no obstacles. Nothing obstacles us. If you already love your daughter, nothing you feel that is an obstacle. That is the suffer when you do for your daughter. Even you have to fly very far away to come to visit your daughter, your son, you still okay because you know that you are there fully for your daughter, for your son. So the son and the daughter, if they practice well, they appreciate your presence. And one of the ways that you can cultivate your love fully, you think you practice meditation reflecting on impermanence. Because you may not see that person again. So impermanence will help you to be there fully for that person. And be there fully for that person, it is another word of love. If you are unable to love, unable to communicate with anyone in your life, transform it by cultivating more love and understanding the situation of that person. And instead of blaming that person, you can ask yourself, but if you reflect, if you meditate on how he has done for you, and you will see you have no hate for him. But now you have love and appreciation. One person, when they meditate on love, and he came to one of the master, and she said, Master, when you teach me to meditate about my boyfriend, and I realize that I love him less. But this is her practice, you know. And she said, she said, in the past, I just loved him with my passion. But when I meditate on him, I see a lot of difficulties in him. And now I don't have that passion love, but I have a compassionate for him. So she means love less, that means she loves more. Because now she has transformed her passion love into her loving kindness, her compassionate. Maybe she wants to say that she loves him more. Do you get an idea what I say with you? So nourishing your love, nourishing your life, your day by cultivate the mind of love. This is one of the way, and this is the only way that to continue what you are doing now can extend longer and you can last longer. Sometimes you do not recognize what they have, you will blame, you do nothing for me. But no, actually they have done something for us. But we, because we are not meditate on that, we are not reflect on that, that's why we don't see it. But if we reflect deeply, we will see. Let example, you have grandparents at home, you have parents at home. Today you both you come here, and maybe you have bring your child to your parents and ask them to keep to babysit for you one day. If without you, how can you make this day possible? Like Shirley, she come here because Gary stay home and babysit her son. So he does not come to the practice center, but he did practice along with her. His marriage is the same as Shirley. Do you see that? Sometimes I have the I have an old couple. He does not go to the temple often, only her. But one day he told me, "Thai, if you don't see me often, that doesn't mean I don't practice. I share with you what I practice. When my wife come to the altar, she want to light the incense. She lift up and no more gas in the lighter. She throw the lighter. That's why I always keep an eye on the lighter. If the lighter is empty, I replace a new one for her." I said, "Wow, that is a big practice. You see, sometimes you don't, you see that person do nothing, but actually they do. What is that action? A very tiny one. Just replace the empty, because he does not want her to get upset. What is that action? Love. Isn't it?" He always replaced a new lighter for her. Since that, she never get angry when she burned the incense. She burned the incense to offer the Buddha. She come to the Buddha with love. But she does not love the lighter. She gets angry easily. So there, just that a small example, then you can see. Every single minute that you walk on the street, you are dealing with people around your work, at home, everywhere, you still receive that kind of love action. See in that way, in you, full of love, full of gratitude. And in the past, maybe people look at you in a very, you know, uncomfortable eyes. But with that kind of practice and transformation, people will have a different way by looking at you. Like yesterday I told you, people at work will say, "Wow, now she is, you know, he is David in the year 2008. He is not the old David. Now he is the new David." Practice is cultivating and renew ourselves. Practice is nothing, but it is a practicing of renewing yourself. Rebuild your day. Rebuild your family. If you feel that your family situation start to shake, start to weak, it will and it can collapse any day, any time. Then what is the purpose of coming here? What is the purpose of practicing the Buddha's teaching, the practicing of finding more nails, more screw to fix the family, fix the house. And with our love, we are able to do that. And remember, a true cloud able to produce the rain. A true love able to produce true action, true speech. And that can embrace everything in your daily life. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for your presence with us today. Your presence is love. Your practice is love. Without love, you are not here. So with love, you still can appreciate the snowing today. Life is impermanent. Yesterday we say, oh, beautiful day. But don't complain, today is an ugly day. It's beautiful too. If you can see the snow this morning, if you sit in meditation, look at the window and you can appreciate the beautiful snow. And every single flake of the snow represents for the Bodhisattva. They give us beautiful view this morning when we are sitting meditation. And the noise at the back is nothing. Sometimes it distracts. But I know that if I sit there called meditation, but I look very ugly with that noise and I'm not a practitioner. So I go back right away. At first, I don't feel right. So memorize that. Angry makes me ugly. I recognize that. I smile instead. I return to myself.